Welcome to the Bird Gang Down Under Podcast. Talking all things Arizona Cardinals with an Aussie twist.
Larry Fitzgerald inside the 30, the 20. Larry Fitzgerald is insane to the 4-yard line. One of the greatest postseason performers ever.
Check us out on Facebook at Bird Gang Down Under.
Pressure on Murray, but there he goes. He flips to Fitzgerald. Larry Fitzgerald to the goal line. And in for a Cardinal touchdown.
Here's your hosts, Goffey and Jay.
And welcome to the first ever Bird Gang Down Under Live. So our podcast going live for the first time, and joining me, not Jay, he's gone AWOL again, this bloke. I don't know what's going on, but Mr. Reliable stepping in as always. Matty, how are you, man?
G'day, Goffey. Just going to get over this technical difficulty here. What a inauspicious start to the Bird Gang Down Under video podcast, hey? G'day.
And, you know, we'll work out these technical issues as we go along. How are you anyway, mate?
Yeah, doing well. Good to be here. Yes, an inauspicious start, but like Wide World of Sport and the footy show before us, the Bird Gang Down Under podcast is now live across the world on video. So pretty exciting day for the Bird Gang.
That's it, man. And for those people who said that I only ever had a head for radio, you were wrong. So... That's why we had to get rid of Jay, really. He's not good enough for TV. So we brought in the big guns.
I feel a bit like the second stringer coming off the bench here today. But, yeah, always good to talk football.
Mate, and as always, next man up. So you've got to take it and you're there. And it's always good to have you, mate. And obviously, I guess a big development in the last few weeks with the release of the schedule. And that's pretty much what we're going to talk about. A few guests come on the show, but the schedule is going to be the big discussion point. Some good and some bad for us, but what do you think of the schedule overall, man?
It's actually really hard to get a read on the schedule. On paper, it's kind of probably 50-50. Like, we've got a rough run in the middle. We can get off to a good start at the beginning after the San Francisco game. But with the way that the world is, with off-season currently being restricted to, like what we're doing, talking over video call, who knows when they're going to be able to hit the practice field? Are we even going to have a preseason? It actually makes it a bit hard to get a read on where we're going to be at because everything is just so different.
Yeah, and I guess, like you say, you don't know what's going to happen. There's already talk about them having to move games, and I think they've said that the teams that have got their bye, they marry up with the team that they play in the first 2 weeks, I think it is, so that if something was to happen, they can reschedule those games later on, and already talk about moving the Super Bowl back to late February if need be. So there's even though it's out, there's still a lot of conjecture about what could happen, but there's also a lot of flexibility that the NFL's obviously pre-prepared and put into this with the potential of things going wrong. So what's your main takeaway for us with the schedule? Obviously, the three away game run East Coast is not ideal, but what do you take of it?
The big thing for me is that momentum is going to be really important for us. It's going to be crucial that we get a good start to the season. San Francisco week one, well, we did take it to them. We went to overtime against them last year. We did well stopping Nick Bosa. Once we get through that game, we've got a pretty light run. Two of the conferences we're playing, divisions we're playing rather, are pretty light, and we get a few of them in that first part of the year. We could potentially go into the bye, realistically 7-1. I think it's really important that we get as many wins on the board as we can, because we're going to need those up our sleeves once we get post-bye, and we've got that run leading into the Monday Night Football game against Dallas. And then we've got some pretty brutal travels over winter too. We've got the Giants on December 13th, at MetLife Stadium. And I've been at MetLife Stadium in the middle of winter, and it is cold like you've never experienced before. So that certainly has an impact on playing, especially when you're like the Cards and used to playing in nice weather and in domes. Yeah. So, yeah, getting off to a fast start is going to be really important for us.
Yeah, I don't think I'd want to be enjoying that MetLife Stadium in the middle of winter. I'll remind everyone that these are Australian time, so don't freak out. It is the Aussie schedule, but as you mentioned, you got that San Fran first up, which everyone's obviously going to look at and say, yeah, is a huge game and is one that we could really make a statement in. I'm for one who I've said that I honestly believe that we will split the games with San Fran this year, and I would not be surprised if that first one we could catch them with their pants down, so to speak. And they're coming off that Super Bowl hangover where, you know, we've seen teams that have lost Super Bowls in the past, struggle to come back from it. So, that's a game where I believe we could really pull their pants down. And then if that was to happen, you're looking at, as I bring it back up again, you're looking at games against Washington, Detroit, Carolina, Jets. You know, they're not, apart from the actual trips themselves, they're not teams that are going to put the fear into you. So you could be conceivably going into that Monday night football. And, geez, wouldn't that be huge? Monday night football in Dallas, and the Cardinals have got a big zero in the L column. Wouldn't that be nice?
A big return to Texas for Kyler and Cliff. And we certainly know that Kyler loves playing on the big stages and just lifts to another level when he gets an opportunity. Against Dallas at Jerry World, Monday Night Football. It doesn't get much bigger than that outside of the Super Bowl. So that will be an exciting game, no doubt.
A question for you. Monday Night Football against Dallas, how do you think Andy Dalton's going to handle it?
I tell you what, I was exceptionally surprised initially at that move that Dalton got picked up by the Cowboys. I thought Dalton was going to go to the Pats. I would have put the house on it, so to speak. But then thinking about it more, I actually wasn't that surprised because what a Jerry Jones move that is to really just say to Dak, hey, pull your head back in. I can just go in and bring in a starter and pay him, $8 million, I think it is, for one season. So, don't get too comfortable, Dak. Yep. Let's be a bit more equal at the negotiating table.
Yeah, it's certainly an interesting development. Obviously, nothing's come of it yet. Dak still hasn't signed. But, it's certainly put him on notice just to say, hey, we don't want to play games with us because we've got options now. So it'll be very interesting, very interesting. So obviously we're live, so we want people to comment. We want everyone to get involved. So send us in your questions, your comments on Facebook. Follow the instructions there so that we can see who it is. And we got a special prize up for grabs today, and one of the only remaining Bird Green left in circulation that hasn't been picked up by one of the crew. So if you want a Bird Gang Down Under flag, send in your comments, send in your questions, and because Maddie's the guest, we're going to let him be the judge today. So the best question, the best comment, Maddie's going to pick who it is, and they get a Bird Gang Down Under flag. So send them in. Don't be shy. And even tell us how good we look on TV and how we should keep this going forever, and maybe tell Jay to stay in Perth. This is an East Coast gig, not a West Coast gig.
And if anyone wants to slide into my DMs and collude with me for a question, because I haven't got one of those flags. I've got a few bits of Cards gear, but I haven't got one of those flags, and they are pretty good. So that's definitely a good prize for someone to get their hands on.
Well, while we're doing that, but while we're giving a little bit of a plug, for those who don't know, Bird Gang Down Under, so our members have all got membership numbers basically in the order that they've joined. And we are doing a run of Bird Gang Down Under jerseys. So I'll put them up on the screen there. You can see them. It's got the BGDU Bird Gang Down Under on the back, and each individual jersey will have the member's number. So if you want to order one of those and you're a Bird Gang Down Under member, get in touch with us. And you know what? I'm even thinking about considering if you're not a Bird Gang Down Under member, we might allow you to order one. So if you want to order one, if you're not a member, we may have to do something with the number and make it just a simple double zero. But We are open to discussion. So if you are interested, get in touch with us, Bird Gang Down Under on Facebook, on Twitter, all of those things. You can find us, just search for us, and we might be able to hook you up. But we're taking orders soon. So if you want to get one of those awesome jerseys and be part of the Bird Gang, one of the official members of the Bird Gang Down Under, get in touch and we'll get an order. All right, we're hoping to have a few guests come on throughout the show, so we're waiting on a few to come in at the moment. But we'll start out, mate. We're gonna run through this draw one by one. So
let's go.
Short little brief discussion on each game, and then we'll give our prediction and how we think we're going to go, and obviously throughout the season. So week one, San Fran in San Fran, and not too bad a start time for us. 6:25 for the first game of the season. I can handle that. It's not a 3 a.m. or a 4 a.m. So it's a nice, easy one to ease our way into the season. What are you thinking? What are your thoughts on this one?
Well, I agree with you about the start time. Across the board, we've done well this season for the Aussie perspective in terms of how many early and late games relative that we have. This should be a good game. We actually took it to San Francisco both times last year. We went to overtime against them. And really, if it weren't for our lack of ability to cover George Kittle, we really could have had a good shot to win at least one of those two games. Now with Isaiah Simmons coming in, this will be his first start, assuming we don't have a preseason, which I think is likely. But the instant impact that he'll have is going to be really important. And in terms of our offense coming in against San Francisco, we've got a really good position in that we're very consistent on our starting offensive lineup this year. The one major change we do have, you know, is one of the top three wide receivers in the NFL, DeAndre Hopkins. So
top three, geez, you're being real lean there too. Top three.
Right? Oh, you could easily make the argument that he's top two, if not number one. Although Michael Thomas, I do have to admit, is very good.
He's good.
I think coming into this game though, it's you know, reasonable trip for us. Ideally, we'd be starting the season at home, but we don't normally get that. I would take San Francisco to win, but I think that this will certainly, you know, come down to a bit more of the wire. I think we'll hold their offense down a bit more with our revitalized defense, with our free agency pickups. But I do pick San Francisco to win, but this will be a real tone setter for our entire season. Really need to make sure we have a good showing in this match. What about you? What do you think?
Yeah, look, as I mentioned before, I'm of the belief that this is a real banana skin game for the 49ers. They could, you know, they're coming off that Super Bowl hangover. We challenged them as well as, if not better than, any other team last year, and probably lacked that polish to get over the line. We held some decent sized leads and made a real good run at them there. I think with the additions that we've made, and yes, they've made a couple of good ones, but they've also lost a few as well. I'm of the belief that we could really rattle them early. Look, whether we they're a really good team, but I'm also seeing a lot of people tipping them to have that slide, that hangover slide that we've seen so many teams have in recent years, coming off a Super Bowl loss. And you mentioned, you know, we'd love to play it at home. I'm going to segue that into our first question, and this is from Miles, one of our Bird Gang Down Under boys.
Miles,
have a read of that one, Matty. Have a read of that one. Now, this is one that's interesting because it could turn out to be a home game.
It very well could be. We talked about this in our group chat, and if you become a Bird Gang Down Under member, find us on Facebook there. You can jump in our group chat. Good banter there. This is actually a very real possibility. Now, California, initially in the States, was one of the real hotspots for coronavirus, and their governor, their state government, or you know, whatever the term is over there for that, are taking this very seriously. And there's a lot of talk. There's a lot of, I suppose, dissent in the community about how far they're locking down and wanting to, or projecting that they'll continue to. It's very likely that this could get moved down to AZ because, you know, it's a dome stadium, and Arizona is, you know, certainly an easier place to have a player hub. Like what we're seeing in the AFL and the NRL, and that same kind of concept. I actually wouldn't write this off, that this game would be played in Glendale.
Does that change your perspective on the game, so to speak? I mean, the other thing we've got to throw in there is we may be playing in front of no fans anyway.
There may be no fans there anyway. It does. That would make a huge difference. I'm very interested to see what an NFL game will look like with no crowd. Well, importantly, what it would sound like with no crowds in the stands.
Have you not watched Chargers games before? Sorry, I'm just belting everyone today.
You're just going whack. You're putting your face to your opinions today as well. Yeah. You better be careful. Yeah. I still think that I agree with you. I think there's definitely the history of Super Bowl losing teams, you know, falling off. The Falcons, the Eagles, the Panthers, you know, have all the Rams have all had those kind of drop-offs. San Francisco do seem to be doing things right there, though, I must say. And I hate saying that because as a Cards fan, interdivision rival, but I still think they will probably come out on top, but it will be close. It will be certainly close. And I would not be at all surprised if we were able to knock them over in this round.
Yeah. Oh, look, mate, it'd be huge, huge way to start the season if we could knock them off like that. That would set the tone, and the hype around the team would be massive. So and obviously gives us a massive head start in the division. You know, those divisional games I think are going to be key this year, because I honestly believe, and outside of the Rams, who I believe are sliding pretty bad, I believe that the rest of the three teams are all very even, and on any given day can beat anyone, as we've seen. You know, we can't beat the Seahawks in Glendale. They can't beat us in Seattle. So it's going to be very, very interesting. And an early win against San Fran, no matter the circumstances, would really set the tone for us. So so fingers crossed that the game gets underway, because, you know, that's huge for us. So so just to throw it down there, loss for you first week, you're tipping a loss. You're not tipping it, obviously. You're not hoping for it, but, you know, that's your head's telling you that.
Yeah, that my head is saying that. My heart is certainly saying otherwise. But, yeah, look, I'll have to go with the 49ers to win in week one.
Yeah, fair enough. I'm going to stick with my gut. I just got this feeling that, you know, week one, we can really catch them out and hopefully really put a bit of pressure on. So I'm going to go with a win. I'm going to start the season off with a win. So, all right, we'll move on. And obviously week two, first week potentially at home, depending on obviously what happens week one, but another 6 o'clock start on the Monday morning for us, but against the Skins, new coach, few new changes there. Obviously a very big change on defense with Chase Young being picked up there in the draft. Still a lot of question marks over their quarterback. We should be winning this game no matter where it is, to be honest.
It's interesting. We tend to often get the Redskins as our first home game. I think two of the last three seasons we've had them as our first home game there in Glendale. You're completely right. This is there's something seriously wrong if we lose this game, with no disrespect to the Washington football team. But yeah, Chase Young will certainly make a difference to their defense, but I can't see them being able to, especially, you know, after hopefully a bit of momentum coming out of week one. I can't see them doing much to stop our demi air raid offense. And and Dwayne Haskins, what an interesting story he is. He looked really good. He was probably one of the more perceived to be one of the more NFL ready quarterbacks coming out of college. Just an example where if you rush a player in, and not that they had much choice. I mean, obviously, Alex Smith's injury was pretty bad. But if you look at players like Haskins or Josh Rosen, to use an Arizona example, there's perils in rushing players in. They don't always fire like Kyler Murray, did for us last season. This match, I certainly can't see a Dwayne Haskins-led offense doing enough to outscore a Kyler Murray-led Arizona offense.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. And it really could be a big game for our defense. If our defensive front and, you know, can put a little bit of pressure on, then our secondary could have a field day, because he wasn't the most accurate quarterback last year, I believe. And could be a big fun day for the season opener in Glendale. So fingers crossed. Oh, we've got to... before you jump in, mate, we got our first guest.
Fantastic.
Our main man all the way from Arizona, the Emmy Award-winning, I've got to say that, the Emmy Award-winning, Cam Cox from 12 News. How are you, Cam?
Guys, what's going on, man? It's late. It's 10:20 over here. Guys, I popped some popcorn. I was about to go to bed.
I'll hop on with you guys. We appreciate you coming on, brother. It's always good to have you on, and it's good to see your smiling face. How are you, mate?
Man, I'm great, man. We had a good dinner tonight, good day. Just waiting for baseball to come back around these parts and hoping for an NFL season, and everything's going well. You guys safe and healthy? Everything good?
Yeah, mate, we're doing really well.
Yeah, we're just having our restrictions start to be eased now. We're allowed to start having family and friends visiting our homes again, and some states are allowed to go back to the pub and have a drink. So things are feeling good here in Australia. Coffee's already on it. It's hopefully we can keep the good times rolling.
Yeah,
it's Friday afternoon.
And importantly for you, Cam, to announce today, AFL and NRL both have starting dates, so we can get you into the Aussie rules and the rugby. Both those sports are coming back in the next couple of about 4 weeks' time.
So well, the NRL's back in two weeks.
So 2 weeks to pick a favorite team.
You got two weeks to pick a team, man. Yep.
Okay. All right. I'll get on that this weekend. That's my project for Sunday.
All right. Well, we're gonna have to get you on the show before the season starts, so we can get the official Cam Cox team selection. Mate, when I come down there, providing. Well, this could be dangerous for me because I've had to do this in the reverse. So when I was there last time, I got a mate who's a Patriots fan, and it disgusted me, but he asked me if I could buy him a jersey and bring it back. It was the worst thing I ever did.
Oh.
It soiled everything in my bag on the way home. But I'll do the opposite for you. I'll bring you a jersey when I come to Arizona next time of your team of choice. There you go.
You
can walk around in Arizona with an NRL jersey and everyone will be looking at you going, who is this guy?
And you let me know. I got some old school jerseys, or I can get you one too. We'll do a jersey swap. All right.
Oh, there we go. Hey,
you let me know.
How good is that?
Yeah, they're actually opening up Arizona after Friday night. Arizona will be back open for everything. The gym's opened up this week. There's a lot of social distancing guidelines, obviously. So, but after this week, everything it looks like it's back to normal. Governor Doug Ducey the other day, he said, you know, he's kind of open for major league sports now. So we're not just waiting on leagues to kind of open things back up. The Suns could start practicing soon. Haven't heard anything from the NHL. Diamondbacks haven't heard anything from baseball. They're still trying to work to get a deal done. And the NFL is making everybody stay at home, I think, until the end of May. So everybody's kind of stuck. They can't go back to the facilities until the end of May. There's a slim chance the Cardinals and teams could get on the field for organized team activities in minicamp in June. I doubt it, though. I doubt it. They'll probably just wait till training camp and keep it simple. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We were just talking before you came on, Cam, about our week one game against San Francisco. And
bring those guys on.
Well, we were talking. It's actually one of our Bird Gang members, Miles, threw up the concept what chance there is of San Francisco needing to relocate to Arizona to play their games if the state of California stays shut down. Do you have any intel from the inside over there in the States on any likelihood of that?
So, Gavi, I think you and I talked about this earlier. If there's whatever your perception of sports is right now or what leagues look like, it's all going to look different. And I just think everybody's got to kind of get a little comfortable with that. I'm not sure what it's going to look like, when fan, all that. It's just going to look a little different. There are states in this country that I can possibly see have stricter stay-at-home laws come August and September. And California is one of them. The California university systems, which don't include the Pac-12 schools like Stanford, UCLA, USC, you know, if y'all follow college football, those are teams that Arizona State plays. They basically canceled all in-person classes next fall. So it's like 26 universities will not have in-person classes in the state of California next fall, which is crazy to think about. Like See you in 2021. Everything will be online next fall. Right now, LA County, the report is that they could possibly extend their stay-at-home order another 3 months. Now, that would run into August, and that would affect training camp, obviously. The Rams have looked into other spots. The Chargers have too as well. I know for a fact San Francisco's made some calls here at Arizona about possibly playing some games out at State Farm Stadium, so there is some truth to that. There are some dates that conflict with the Cardinals and San Fran being home at the same time, so obviously you'd have to make that work. Maybe Vegas is another possibility. But I know that teams like the ones in California especially are looking at other spots. They'll have backup plans in place just in case something can't happen right off the bat. I will say this. It will be easier for NFL teams to play in the fall and go through practices and find other places to do that than it will be for colleges, because it's extremely tough to ask the college student just to come play football when you're not having people on campuses actually taking classes. So they'll be professional football. But if those stay-at-home orders last in states like California, especially going into August and September, you could see them playing elsewhere. You could also see the possibility of the NFL maybe pushing back a few weeks. ESPN reported this a few weeks ago, actually during the draft, where that they could add weeks on after week 17. So say they missed week 1, 2, and 3. They'd put those at the end of the year after week 17 and then bump back the Super Bowl a few weeks if they had to.
Yeah, okay.
It's crazy to think about. There's so much.
Well, it's one of those things that's and it's ever evolving, ever changing, and you know, 1 week is different to the other, so it doesn't really matter. And I guess until we get to that point in early September or end of August, we're not really going to know for certain. Things can change all the way up to that date. So it's sit back and wait, I guess.
I do know this. People are buying NFL tickets like crazy. I don't remember the report the other day, but it showed the ticket price or people asking for tickets is up a little bit. Our good friends at the Bird Gang Travel Club, I know they're planning trips. So yep. A lot of people are planning on and banking on the season happening as it's scheduled. The NFL has been pretty positive that everything kind of will go on as scheduled. But I would assume like most leagues, probably early on, it'll be without fans. There was a report out the other day that Fox is going to pump in some crowd noise just to make it feel a little more
They're talking about that for the Aussie rules here in Australia. I'm not sure if that will work or not. I think that would just seem a bit odd.
I'm just saying, if you're going to have a game in an empty stadium, hey, listen, it's just going to be what it is. Like, you know, it's just going to sound empty. You get to hear the players cuss all the time. That's what you'll hear. Turn up the field, Mike.
Well, look. Like I was saying to Maddie before, the only winner out of all that is going to be the Chargers because they're used to it.
Yeah, I did go to one game, the Cardinals and the Chargers a few years ago at that.
Yeah, that was the game we don't want to talk about. We were there, remember?
Oh, that's right. Okay, sorry, man.
Part of
y'all's trip. Oh, that's yes. Right. That was the weirdest environment.
It was.
Like, people, you weren't sure, like, are you really a Charger fan? Not really? Maybe? Kind of? Okay. It was really weird. I'm really interested to see how they fill that stadium. The stadium's huge. Who knows how they do it? Who knows?
What I would like to see, if we're talking about, rather than an empty stadium, let's just get one super fan from each team to sit on opposite sides of the pitch and just let them like call out and hurl abuse at each other and just go to town. I think that would make for a real entertaining sideshow.
So I thought that would be like, okay, no fans, like you're not even allowed 10 in the building. You tell me you couldn't put one in every section, like, or every other row. I think that'd be a great idea. I think that'd be fantastic. Like the biggest of the biggest fans, have them show up, whatever, wait in line 6 feet apart, email submissions. I'm sure the NFL has thought of this. They think of everything when it comes to money. They probably charge you to submit a video or something like that. But that would be, Matt, that'd be a great idea. That'd be a fantastic idea.
Definitely. I
don't want to sit next to that fan or near that fan.
Definitely going to be interesting, that's for sure. Well, mate, we were talking about the schedule, and I know I've had a chat with you, obviously, on the Bird Gang Travel Club show the other day, and your thoughts on the schedule, obviously, if it goes ahead as predicted. Your thoughts now that you've had a little bit of time to think about it?
It's tough. I mean, it's there are some weeks where they get some relief, but, I mean, there's a reason it's the eighth toughest schedule in football next year. I mean, there's some heavyweight teams on there. I always worry about the Cardinals going east. They just – I get they won in Green Bay in the snow a few years ago with Josh Rosen. How the hell that happened, I have no idea. They won in the rain in New York and Patrick Peterson's return last year. How the hell that happened, I have no idea. For the longest time, it just felt like that 10 a.m. start time. And then weather was just not their friend whatsoever. So anytime I see 10 a.m. games, I get a little worried. San Francisco is going to be tough next year regardless. Seattle is Seattle. I believe those two teams can split. I don't think the Rams are anything what they're going to be. That three-game road trip early on where you got to go to Carolina, which I hate Carolina. I've seen some ugly, ugly Cardinal games in Carolina, starting with the NFC Championship game and every other trip after that. So Carolina, I don't know what it is. That stadium is just haunted for Red. Like, it just doesn't like it. So when I saw Carolina on the schedule, I was like, oh, that's great. We got to go back to Carolina. New York, who knows what they are. Dallas on a Monday night can be anything too as well. But three straight road games is pretty tough. They got to go on the road to Seattle on a Thursday night. Sure, they get the weekend break and then followed by a trip to New England the following week. But those are two – I mean, that's cross-country, you know, going on road trips too as well. I do like the back half of their schedule with three of their last five at home. I believe they host the Eagles, the Rams, and the Niners, finish up with the Rams at home. I predicted 10 wins. It's probably just being safe. But when I look at the roster, the additions they made, there's no reason this team should not be a playoff team next year. To me, there's no reason they shouldn't win 10 games next year. It's going to be tough. There's a lot of good football teams in that. So my initial reaction to the schedule is that it's a tough schedule. And we'll know with this schedule, we'll know very early on what type of team this is. We'll know exactly what type of teams this is, especially around week six, right after that Cowboy game. If they're you know, 2-4, you'll know it's going to be a long season. You know, if they split it 3-3, there's some hope. But if they go, you know, 4-2, 5-1, then it could be a really special season. And I say that just because it's a good test early on.
And we have the added benefit too, so to speak, when it comes to playoffs, of a extra spot up for grabs with the wild card. So even though we are in arguably the toughest division in the league, should we have a good season, we stand ourselves a chance to sneak our way into the playoffs and ruffle some feathers.
Yeah, I mean, I was talking to people about this the other day, a lot of Cardinal fans. I mean, they're very excited here in Arizona, and they should be. You know, Chandler Jones was on a Zoom call with us the other day, and he was just kind of talking about the offense and like who you guarding. I don't know. Like, I don't know how deep it's going to be, a pick your poison type of thing. Somebody's going to be open or somebody's going to be able to run free. And it gives Cliff a lot of flexibility with that offense. I think this defense is going to be much improved too as well. They still got to show some things that they can tackle in open space one, that they can cover tight ends too. They got pieces now that you guys know, I'm sure, following that. Oh, it's nice to have this guy here and Isaiah Simmons here and, you know, Devondre Campbell and Jordan Phil. I mean, they got guys that fit there, getting Robert Alford back. I mean, so they got guys that they just got to show something now. So the defense should be better. The offense should be tons better next year. I don't think it's necessarily hurting them so much that they can't be on the field right now. I will say this, in training camp last year, apparently this is what they at least told us. They didn't rep a lot of the offense that they ran in the regular season because they didn't want to show it. You know, Cliff likes to keep everything close to the vest. Well, his offense is out there. So the good thing about training camp is they don't got to waste time with a lot of BS they did last year just to get the basics down. I feel like this training camp can be a little more productive. So the time you lost now, I think you'll make up in those first couple of weeks. And they should be just fine. So, and I don't know if you've seen Kyle, the picture he posted on Instagram. The dude looks like Popeye. You seen his forearms? Man's working out.
Wow.
He's ready to go. Don't worry. Fans don't need to worry about him losing time before he'll be fine. be just fine. Yeah.
I seen those photos and was like, that's Kyler. Has he like photoshopped his body or like he was?
He'll be ready to go. I'm not worried. I'm looking forward to it. So
yeah, definitely looking forward to it.
They should have those people in this valley should expect this team to make the playoffs. This roster, there's just no excuse.
No, that's fair enough. Well, mate, we appreciate you coming on, and we know it's late there, so thank you very much for coming on. It's always great to have you on, and we're definitely going to get you back in a couple of weeks because we need to find out that NRL team and that AFL team before the season starts.
That's right. I got it here on my notes now, so I know. Real quick, I got 2 weeks to pick. Which league is it? That opens
the NRL, the National Rugby League.
And then which one opens in 4 weeks?
About 4 weeks, the AFL.
Got some work to do then, guys. Thanks for the homework. I appreciate it. I'm not gonna
awesome.
Do it because I'm gonna go to bed, get some sleep.
Yeah, you've got to do it. You've got to do it fresh.
Okay, that's my plan.
But just so you know as well, this decision like will reflect our friendship going forward. So there's not a lot of pressure, but you know, we may not be able to have this friendship going forward.
I love pressure because I enjoy hanging out with you guys. I enjoy talking with you guys. It's crazy that there's, you know, that we're able to talk like this from Australia to Phoenix, Arizona, halfway around the world and have this normal conversation. So
it's amazing.
You guys let me be a part of this and let me join. And anytime, guys, you know, my number, shoot me a text and I'll hop on anytime.
Absolutely, always man. Thank you much. Very much. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon. Cheers, Cam.
On you, Cam.
Guys.
Well, thanks to Cam once again. As always, he's an absolute legend bloke, and we love having him on. And 10 and what did he say? 10 and 6.
Yeah, he's gone for the 10 wins.
I'm not going to say anything, but that's what I pick it as well. So you know, fingers crossed. And now Cam's gone, and we've got another guest about to come in.
Oh,
and yeah, this is one of our Bird Gang Down Under members. He's only relatively new, but there's a funny story behind this one. I've actually know this guy's family, and it just turned out that he was a Bird Gang fan, and here we go. So we're going to welcome you in. Welcome to the show, Troy. How are you, man?
Hey, boys. How are we?
G'day, Troy.
Doing all right. He's one of our more vocal fans. He's only been in our group for, what, a couple of weeks, mate, and he's very vocal. He's a mad Cards fan, which is awesome. Got the gear. Look at the room decked out there, mate. Hey.
Go to a wide shot on Troy's setup there.
A wide shot.
Right, I want to see what he's got. Look at that, hey. That big flag there, and the Tyrann Mathieu jersey. He hasn't made too many friends from the Cardinals side since leaving us as old Tyrann, but we won't hold that against you for repping his jersey.
Yeah. I mean, it's a tough thing when he had to leave. Like, I don't think any of the fans wanted him to go. One of those cap casualties, deal got too big for his performance. And I'm happy that he's over there playing well. He played well for us, and he deserves it.
Yeah, nice. All right, man. So it's your first time on the show, and mate, you're making your debut on the live show. Like, this is, you know, you've done more than Jay. Jay's been on this podcast for a good few months, and you've done more than him. And you know, it's amazing. So we're going to throw you the questions, the Bird Gang fan questions. Or I don't know if you've listened to the show, so you would have heard them. So we're going to throw them to you just nice and quickly, and then we'll get back into continuing on with our predictions. So where are you from, mate? Where do you live? So obviously I know this one, but shoot it out.
From Australia, obviously part of the Bird Gang, but New South Wales, Sydney. Not actually far from Golfie, maybe a 15-minute drive.
Yeah, it's good. Finally got someone I can watch games with. All the rest of these guys are all in other parts of the country, so it's good. And when did you start following the Cards, mate?
Got a weird story with that. I mean, I'm obviously one of those guys, fan of the game for a long time, but 2013, I went to America on my honeymoon. We were flying into New York, and that day I was supposed to go to a New York Jets game. I was going to be a New York Jets fan. I'd never really had a strong affiliation with the team, so that was going to be it, the first home game. Our flight got delayed, never made it to that game, so I went panically searching through other games that I could go to. We ended up in Las Vegas as part of that trip, took the four-hour drive down to Arizona, and from there we're Arizona Cardinals fans, so 2013.
There you go. Fate was there. Hey?
It is. Glad now, looking at the Jets. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Imagine. Oh, poor bloke. I know a couple of Jets fans, and they're not in good places, those guys. So
no.
For your own safe insanity.
I don't think you want Gaze as your coach.
No, I don't think you want your quarterback seeing ghosts.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, mate. So your favourite moment, obviously you've been over there, your favourite moment just on the field, off the field, whatever it may be?
It's hard to go past. It's the Packers playoff game. But, I mean, everyone refers to the Fitz down the sideline. Was it 75 yards almost? The funny, I got a Packers friend, and the one I always bring up to him is the athleticism from Carson Palmer.
Yeah.
Never pulled off a spin move in his life, but when he needed it, accidentally fell out, crossed his body. Yeah, that's the moment for me.
It was a bit more like a pinball machine. He was kind of bouncing off people and somehow managed to keep his balance. I don't know how he did that, considering that the touchdown spike that he tried to put in the end zone where he couldn't stay on his own 2 feet. So, yeah, it was amazing that he stayed on his feet there. Most memorable match, mate? Obviously, that one's one, but is that the one that comes to mind?
No, I mean, you usually exclude that one from the question. So, I mean, for me, seeing Kyler's first game last year was a big deal for me. I mean, I'm obviously relatively new, so you look back at Super Bowl and that's a memory that I didn't get to live live. So, but, I mean, I started 2013. We were a strong defensive team all the way up 2016. We've always been defense team. Going through 2018 was a punish. I'm sure everyone lived that and wished that never happened again. So moving into 2019, full of hope with Murray, we go down, we go well down, got Kingsbury and Murray on the sideline, head and hands, and then he leads that comeback to unfortunately draw because I think we deserve to win that game by the end. But that's an amazing match that I think has put us on the trajectory we're on now.
Yeah, nice. And last question, outside of Larry, obviously, who's your favourite Cardinal of all time?
As I said, so defence has always been the thing for me because that's what I got accustomed to the Cardinals with. So, I mean, unfortunately, Tyron was probably the man, but and Calais Campbell, that they were the two. It's got to be game wreckers. Those two were so influential on outcomes of games. So, I mean, Tyron as an ex-Cardinal, that's the man. But as a current Cardinal, Fitz is obviously excluded, so I'm going to go to Kyler Murray.
Kyler, oh, wow. Okay, there you go.
I think we have so much invested in him on our trajectory forward. If it doesn't work, I mean, we go back again. So it's that's right.
I must say, the way you were talking then, I honestly thought you were going to go the sack man, Chandler.
Yeah, I mean, Chandler's a forgotten man for everyone. No one mentions him, but he's just so consistent that, and he just got ripped off again. PFF put him at 80th.
Yeah, I know.
I don't understand.
Yeah, we've got that as a talking point here. We'll get to that, but there, just once again, just unbelievable how he's forgotten like that. But but just quickly, one more question: what was the game that you seen? You said that you were going to see the Jets, but you were...
It was against Carolina Panthers. I think it was like week five or something like that. Terrible game. We won 22-6. That wasn't that terrible, but. I think Carson threw three interceptions. Cam threw three interceptions. I think it was only two touchdowns for the game. So a very defensive slug, which was the Cardinals back in 2013, I guess.
Yeah.
But it was a win.
And experienced it. Did you experience the whole tailgate side of things, everything?
Yeah, so we had the drive, so we had the car. So we end up in the car park in tailgating areas and did the walk through there. As Maddie said before, I've been to MetLife in the winter as well, and, it's cold there, so. Two different tailgates.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But such a cool scenery outside the stadium. I mean, there's more people that stay outside than go in. It feels like they have their satellite set up and all that kind of stuff. It's crazy out there.
And it's something we don't have in Australian sports. We just don't have that culture. You rock up at the game and then you're gone. I mean, at the MCG, 100,000 people will be gone within 10 minutes of the game. We just don't have that culture at the ground. It'd be pretty cool if we did. I'm looking forward to experiencing it. AZ tailgate at some point in the future, that's for sure.
Mate, the hospitality. Yeah. Sorry, Ben.
No, I was just saying that the great lawn is just unbelievable, and it's the two teams come together. Like, you can hate each other as much as you like inside that stadium, but outside, everyone's playing together, everyone's having a drink together, and you know, they're so welcoming. You go from one to another, and you know, just as a guest, like, they come in, have a drink, come in, do this. Like, it's amazing. And you know, I've mentioned it before, but the Bird Gang down on Bird Gang Travel guys, if you're ever going over and you're looking for it, get in touch with them, because they're always accommodating. And you know, Eric and Tyler do an amazing job there. They've got their tailgate set up there, and they always get us in and have a great time. So, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. The hospitality of everyone over there is amazing. That everyone welcomes you into their little tailgate area. You know, you end up playing some I don't know what their games are called, but they're like the cornhole and stuff like that.
Yeah, cornhole.
Just with guys you don't even know, and, you know, it's cool.
And the entertainment, like the drumming bands going around through the tailgate, it's just, you know, amazing. Like, the first time I went over in 2017, I had my kids with me. My wife was there. She's not a massive NFL fan. My young bloke was getting into it. My daughter was there, but they all had an amazing time. My wife wanted to stay in the tailgate rather than go into the game. But the atmosphere and just the whole party vibe of it is just next level. And you don't actually appreciate it until you've actually been there. So, but we're already on the planning. There's a little seeds planted there for a big Bird Gang trip in a couple of years. So, It's a big planning, something like that, and we're trying to get as many as we can. We only had a small group last time, but we're trying to get something a bit bigger this time. And so, little seed there, just for everyone listening, everyone watching, just, you know, keep it in your mind. A couple of years, start saving,
and get your Bird Gang Down Under jerseys now, so we can all rep the Bird Gang Down Under when we're over there.
Yes,
cheap there plug. Cheap plug. There we go.
Not trying to cover you up there, Troy. Sorry, man. So, but no, get them in there. We're doing the order. So, get them in. And also, don't forget, get those questions in. Bird Gang Down Under flag. Bird Gang Down Under flag. Look, there it is. Flown very high and proud at a very bad game in LA a couple of years ago that we got tailed up in. But we've got one of them here. It's right here. Remember, we've only had the one question so far, and I think he's the only winner. So, we got to get a bit of competition here for Miles, or is this going to be a walkover? So if you've got any questions, get them in. We'll have a chat and answer them. All right. We're going to keep you on for a bit, Troy. You keen to stay on?
Yeah, that'd be great, mate. Love it.
All right. So where are we up to? We're up to week 3. Week 3, Detroit. Let me fix this up so we're not covering up your head, mate. There we go. Week 3, Detroit. Another home game against Detroit. We've had them at home a couple of times now, and last year was obviously so close but yet so far, and walk away with a game where you're kind of like kissing your sister, who won, no one won. But I think for us, it gave us that hope going forward that we'd made the right decision in moving on from Josh Rosen, and Kyler had shown, as Troy mentioned, that he's got that ability to do what he needs to do. Kind of like the Washington game, I look at it and go, it's a game we should not be losing. Obviously, they've picked up a good piece in the draft as well in Okuda. But for me, they've got some good pieces on offense, but they're a team that, once again, we should be beating. Matty?
Yeah, that's right. This will be an interesting game, I think, for us to see what some of our defensive pickups are able to do, because I certainly see this game as being one where Detroit will want to really pound the ball and really stick to the ground against us. And I'm looking forward to seeing what some of our new additions like Fotu, particularly as that run stuffing defensive player, can do. This will be certainly more likely to be a much happier outcome than week one it was last season, where it was the tie. I certainly see us getting over Detroit in this game.
Troy?
For sure. As Matty said, I think it's going to be a run-heavy game. We get a bit of intel this season on the Lions. Devon Kennard returns back to Arizona. I'm sure he'll be keen to go back and play against the Lions. They took another running back to add to Kerryon Johnson, so they're going to run the ball.
Yeah, and I think, mate, he's going to be primed for a big game, like you said. If he can produce what he did for us last year in this game against, like, when he produced it against us, it's going to be a massive, massive help. But defensively, it's going to be a test for our offense too, because they're obviously built around their defense this side. Patricia's a defensive guy. He's had a look at Kyler, obviously. He's seen what he did last year. I think it'll be a good test for our offense. Probably obviously outside of San Fran, which is, you know, divisional games are always going to be tough no matter who you're playing against. But this game here, I think, will be a real good test for our offense in a game where we're expected to win, but we're coming up against a pretty tough, stout defensive team. And obviously with a really, really good young corner, even though it's only going to be his third game, it'll be interesting to see what he does and how Kyler and the offense handles it.
I see this as being potentially the first game where we see DeAndre Hopkins really break out for us. I think we'll see Cliff work in some offensive concepts that, you know, maybe a little bit different, that might take advantage of D-Hop's real steady hands over the top to be able to get over that really stout defense that Detroit have. It'll be a tough game, but I think we'll see some real flashes of excitement offensively in this game.
Yeah.
I think the formations will heavily change from last year too. We faced them first game of last season. Kingsbury was trying to run the four wideouts. He didn't necessarily have the personnel he needed for that. That evolved throughout the season to involve more of that tight end. He's now got a strong core of wideouts. He may return to that, but it'll be interesting to see which way Patricia follows, whether he looks at last year or whether he looks at the first two games.
Yeah, definitely. All right, well, we move on to week four, and it's the first of the dreaded road trip. And we're off to Carolina, a team who we've had our struggles with over recent times. And, you know, a tough trip, even though they've got a few changes. Obviously, new quarterback, new coach. Their main man on defense is gone now, Luke Kuechly. He's retired. But they've got that man, McCaffrey, who, you know, he's going to touch the ball 1,000 times in the game. We got to be able to stop him. I'm still confident that Teddy Bridgewater is going to have a big effect on this side. What are you thinking here? This is probably going to be our first banana skin game, so to speak.
I think it has the potential to be the banana skin game, but at the same time, I think this is a game where we really should be, putting the boot, into the Panthers here. I like Teddy Bridgewater. I don't know if he's going to have that huge impact at least 4 weeks into the season. There's just been so much turnover and change at the Panthers coming into this season. And that kind of dysfunction never serves a team well. And as good as McCaffrey is and as exciting as Bridgewater could be in the backfield as well with his legs and how he can move around in the pocket, I really would be disappointed if we didn't do well here. That said, we historically don't travel well to Carolina, and Carolina are one of those monkey on our back teams. But I would like to think that we will get 3 wins on the trot thanks to week 4 against Carolina. And I don't think we're winning week 1. We've already gone over this. You're being too optimistic. But that said, not thrilled that this is our 4 a.m. start, but we'll live.
I didn't raise that point when I first looked at it. 4 a.m. Yeah, I know.
What time is that for you, Matty? Are you in Perth? Is that right?
No, I'm Victoria. So that's 4 a.m. for me. Yeah.
It's Jay in Perth, isn't it? Right.
Jay's over in Perth.
Yeah.
So he'll be midnight or something.
Yeah, he doesn't even go to bed. So what do you reckon, Troy? You're confident in this one, or is it you've got that feeling of a banana skin?
No, I think we have to be confident in this game. Panthers, the way they've attacked the offseason has been really weird to me. They've gone sort of 1 foot in, 1 foot out. They're kind of stripped down, but then they're throwing some big names at it. I mean, Bridgewater, as you said, is going to be an improvement on injured Newton. But it's going to be difficult for this team where you've got Matt Rhule as a new head coach and Teddy Bridgewater as a new quarterback with no projected offseason to try and walk in here and create a scheme and have it running correctly by week 4. So surely we've got to be confident in this one.
Yeah. And just quickly before we move on, we just had another question. We had 2 questions come in here quickly. So I want to throw this one up first because it's relevant to the Panthers. So this is from Dean, another one of our Bird Gang Down Under boys. What are your thoughts on trading Hassan Reddick for a late-round pick, perhaps reunite with Matt Rhule at the Panthers, or will they keep him around and see what he can do, if he can do enough to keep him next year? Now we have Simmons. What are you thinking? Obviously, there's been plenty of discussion about Redick, and they haven't taken up his fifth-year option. Do you think he's going to be on the team come week one, let alone week four? And if so, what do you think of the options? Obviously, the Panthers are one. I still think there's a possibility of the Bucks with Arians could be another one. What are your thoughts, Matty?
Yeah, it's a really interesting situation with Redick. When we drafted him, really, not to the same extremes as what we're expecting with Simmons, but you know, we drafted him thinking he would come in being able to be that hybrid playmaker on defense like we're expecting Isaiah Simmons to be. And you know, for whatever reason, it just hasn't worked out for Hassan Redick. I'm not sure how much value he has on the trade table. The Bucks make a world of sense in terms of Bruce Arians wanting to take him on. I could see that happening. I'm intrigued by the idea of the Panthers. I don't think they've necessarily got any players that we'd want, but I think that we could potentially get some, you know, a value draft pick for him, because I don't see the Panthers having a fantastic season. So I could see us potentially, you know, getting some value with a draft pick from the Panthers. I hadn't thought of them as a trade partner, but I certainly don't see Hassan Redick long term being as part of the Arizona Cardinals fans. I could see him playing out this season and trying a few different things, seeing where he fits. But yeah, I think with the moves we've made, particularly with Simmons coming in, I don't see Redick lasting. You know, being a long term player for us.
Yeah. Yep. And Troy, you similar thoughts? Yeah.
Same thing. I've heard the connection with Rule and his connection to Redick, and that being a possible trade partner. I think there's an opening at their linebacker corps, obviously with Kiku retiring. But, I mean, it's only going to be a small conversation if we find something anyway. So he may be a guy who can fill some depth on that outside linebacker role for us for this season.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, that's fair enough. All right, well, we're moving on. We're going to week five, and it's the second of our three-run stretch, the Jets. Now, before we get into this one, he's keen for this flag. So Miles has come straight back at Dean, and he's thrown another question. He says, need me a flag, boys. We have a three-game road trip in week 4 to 6. How many wins from the three are realistic to expect, given that each game is winnable, but back-to-back on the road is tough to win all of them? So we got a three-game road stretch. So we're going to address this, and then at the end of the next one, we're going to ask you to answer Miles' question. So the Jets, once again, it's early in the season in New York, so it shouldn't be that cold. But it's another one of those road trips. They're going to stay east. I can't even remember the name of it. Do you remember the name of the place that we were talking about? The Greenbrier. That's it. The Greenbrier is where they usually stayed when Brucey was in charge. There's talk that they're going to stay there in between the Panthers-Jets game. Once again, though, it's another game he should be winning on paper against this team. But you just have those concerns. But we should take care of them. This is another win for me. We've got to have it. If you lose these games, their playoff chances start slipping.
Yeah, I'm certainly on board with that. This is a winnable game for us, and one we really should win. At the same time, we shouldn't be too quick to discount the Jets. It's a bit unfair to judge them solely on last season because they just had incredible bad luck last season, starting at the very top with Sam Darnold and Mono and being out as he was for that. I could see them by the time they get to week five having consolidated a bit, maybe somewhat like us last year, being reasonably competitive, not getting the wins. That said, and I'm also very interested to see what Lev Bell does this year. Was last year an anomaly of a season, or is he kind of over the hill? That'll be interesting to see. But yeah, I see the Cardinals winning this game.
Yep.
Troy? Same. It's a winnable game. It's one that we need to have if we're going to be in a playoff situation later on. So Cardinals have to take this one.
And I guess you look at this side, and their main wide receiver weapon last year was Robbie Anderson. He's gone now. So they've got some holes there that they need to fill, and their offense has never been super strong. You mentioned Lev Bell. He's going to need to pull something out. But it's been spoken about already that he wasn't wanted there. So you know, there's still got to be that animosity. I just, for me, it's just a game that we should be winning. And to be honest, I'd love to see him win it comfortably because, you know, the Jets, for me, as much as they look like they might take one step forward, they always seem to take two steps back. And I'd love for our defense to make Sam Darnold start seeing ghosts again. That'd be brilliant. All right, moving on to week six. And I'm not going to, I don't want to bring it up too much, but Cardinals primetime games, our record's not great. Third game of a long road stretch, all east in Dallas, Jerry's World. Oh, I don't know. I said it before. I worry about what Sam, Andy Dalton can do, but I've got this down as our first loss, unfortunately. The last time we played the Cowboys on Monday Night Football was the game that I was in Arizona, my first game, and it wasn't very pretty. I'm hoping for a different result, but I'm not confident on it. Matty, what are your thoughts here?
This is probably my hot take for the entire season. I think that we will win on Monday Night Football against the Cowboys at Jerry's World, and it will be because of one man, Kyler Murray. He just steps up on the big stage like no other young quarterback can. Return to Texas in prime time under the spotlight, and the same for Kingsbury as well. This is a return for him. I think that will surprise a few in prime time here, and I think the schedule makers they clearly think that they're. Is potential for this to be a competitive match by virtue of putting it in that slot. Yeah, I think we'll surprise a few around the league. This will be our coming out of the season, and Kyler Murray will have a big game and lead us to victory.
All right, Troy.
Yeah, I can't go that hot, Matty. It's
it's very cold here in Victoria, though. I need to get as hot as I can.
It's good that we have the primetime game on the back of this three-run away stretch. I think the boys are going to be pretty tired and they're going to be needing a reason to get up and play. It's one of two national televised games that we'll have, and they haven't had a lot of opportunity to show well on stage. I think the last time we had Denver and we got routed, and that was terrible. So I think that'll give them some motivation. The returns to Texas, it's going to be a great game, but I can't put this as a win. Sorry, boys.
Yeah, look, I'd love to, but I'm trying to think with my head here, and I went with my gut back in week one, and I'm sticking with my head here. So, all right, so after 6 weeks, I've got them 5-1. Matty, you got them 5-1.
5-1.
What are you saying, Troy? We missed you for the first couple.
I'm going to split the San Fran game, so I don't think we go to there and win. So I'm going to have them 4-2 at this stage.
Okay. Oh, I think we'd take that in any situation. I think we'd be happy to take 4-2. And getting back to Miles' comment, so we've got Matty saying they're going to win all three road games. So there you go, Miles. He's confident. I'm not as confident. I'm going 2-1, and Troy's with me on the 2-1. So Matty, God, three-game road trip east, and you've just come out and gone, yeah, home run. See you later. We're taking it all.
Got to keep things interesting, boys, and I'm sure I'll be held to account in the group chat should that not come through.
Without a doubt. All right, and now we move on. Week seven. Oh, geez. Oh, I don't even want to go to this one. All right, so we know our record against Seattle in Glendale. It is not good. After a long east road trip, 3 weeks away from home, we finally get home and we come up against a game where our record is not great. Once again, my head says, my heart says, but look, I think we've got a much better team to deal with Seattle now. Our defense is a lot better. And I think we've got a lot more options to look after Wilson. And to be honest, their offense isn't really that great outside of him. Defensively, we don't know what they're going to be like. They're still a bit unsure. And if we can pressure Wilson, we put pressure on them. I'm really, really undecided on this one. My head, I guess I've been burnt too many times, so I'm not too sure. What are you taking out of it, Matty? Are you confident of a win in Glendale?
No. In short, no. Seattle are one of those teams that no matter who their personnel are, they always just seem to just be there. They're always amongst it.
Yeah.
And a lot of that is due to Russell Wilson. He is a magic man. And it's astonishing that he is as undervalued and underloved as what he deserves to be. This is hard. And I think a lot of our performance in this game will be predicated on the momentum. Like I mentioned at the top of the show, the momentum that we're able to build from week one through to this point. It's a bit hard for me to go against history, though, and with Seattle being Seattle, so I have this down as a loss for us. But this will be an electric game, I anticipate.
Yep, Troy.
Same as you boys. I mean, we're running three away games coming into this home game against Seattle, where we never win against Seattle and Glendale. Just to add to it, Seattle are coming off their bye week, so they're well rested. We've come off a Monday night football against Dallas, so it's a short week for us.
Short week, yeah.
I can't put it as a win here.
Yeah.
We got a better chance going up to Seattle and winning it up there when we're there.
That's not a chance. That's guaranteed. That's like the lock of the season.
This leads into our bye week, and it's the first game back from them. I think they'll be strong coming off the bye.
Yeah, definitely. It's going to be one of those tough ones. And this is a game where you can look at and go, all right, if we can start the season really well, it's a game that you can kind of afford to drop, even though it's a divisional game. If you drop or banana skin a couple of those games where you should be winning, then all of a sudden this game becomes so much more important. So I guess we set ourselves up in the first 5-6 weeks for this game right here. Fingers crossed we're in a good position, and it's not as important as what it would have been had we dropped a couple. And you mentioned the bye week 8. And then
I'm confident that we'll win the bye. I think
We did it in 2018, did we?
I think the bye ran for 340 yards on the ground or something that day, didn't it?
Their tight end got three touchdowns.
Yeah. Week 9. At home, we have that 3-game road run, but then we've got the big run at home, where obviously which includes the bye week. So I think we're at home for a month, which is obviously good. Fresh off the bye, at home against the Dolphins, obviously a team who probably overperformed a lot last year, but have made some real big strides forward, and they're a team that I think can surprise a few people this year. The big question, I guess, will be week 9, who's going to be under center? Will it be Fitzpatrick? Will it be Tua? Will it be Rosen? Jeez, if it's Rosen, you know they're in all sorts of trouble, but he's still there. So, but they've made some big strides. They're a team who I think can really, push for that final playoff spot. They're a team who's developed not only in the draft, but picked up some real good free agency acquisitions. Straight up after the bye, we were rusty, really rusty last year coming off the bye. Now, that's going to be a point of emphasis, I think. I think it's already been mentioned a few times by Cliff and Kyler, and I think even Steve Kine mentioned it. It's going to be a point of emphasis. We can't be that rusty here, because we'll be in all sorts if we are. And once again, I'm chalking it down as a win, but it's a game that, if we're not on, they're a team that can surprise us.
I'm excited for this game, because I have no doubt it's going to be Kyler versus Tua, and that is a very exciting prospect. I think Tua will be starting by this point. And further to what you were saying, Goffy, I think Miami, particularly with now their division having gotten quite a bit softer with Brady exiting the Pats, I think the Dolphins have potential to be somewhat like the Cards were last year, that team that the win-loss record might not necessarily reflect what happens on the field. I think they'll be in and amongst it with a lot of games, and I think this will be one. I think this. I think coming off the bye, we might be taken on the hop a little bit. I think we'll win, but this will be a very exciting and I think potentially high-scoring game as well, because if you've got Kyler and Tua both just going for it and just hauling it and a bit of a shootout, this should make for a very exciting match at Glendale.
Yeah.
Revenge game for Kenyon Drake. So he
another point. Yeah.
Returns to play Miami, or Miami come here and he plays them. I like what the Dolphins are doing. They drafted well at the top. They kind of fizzled out with their later picks, but they overachieved last year, like you said. So I think the coaching staff is on it. Similar to Matty, I don't think they're there yet, but I think they're coming. So
yeah.
I've got this as a Cardinals win, but it won't be as easy as the Dolphins sound.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I don't think – I think anyone that thinks this is going to be an easy game is going to be seriously mistaken. So, yeah, fingers crossed they're on after that bye, because it certainly wasn't good signs last year, and hopefully they've learned from that. All right, week 10. Now, this is a game that I'm really concerned about. This is a team who I think are very underrated. They don't get the accolades that they probably deserve. They've got a really, really good defense. They've got some pretty good weapons on the offense, and I think their quarterback is very underrated. He's a big boy. He can throw the ball. He can run. I'm not gonna be afraid to say I think this is a game we could drop.
I agree with you. I have this marked down as a loss. Buffalo this year, I think, are going to really just start to dominate the division now. Again, their division has gotten a lot softer, and they are so well coached.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. They fly under the radar because they're not in a major market. And, yeah, they were a bit hidden amongst the other teams in their division, but they are good. Josh Allen can hurl it. Now he's got Stephon Diggs as a really good vertical threat. It's, I'm going to mark this one down as a loss for us, but we'll still be competitive.
Oh, yeah, absolutely,
I've got this as a loss as well. Jordan Phillips is the revenge game here, returns after free agent signing from Buffalo this year. The Bills will win the AFC East, and I think they do it comfortably. As you said, Brady out of the Patriots now leaves that spot open for them. Their season relies on Josh Allen's consistency. He's a great quarterback when he can move the ball, but he has a lot of 50-50 balls that should be taken. So Bills are a strong team, and I can't see us getting past them at this point.
Yeah, and obviously Johnny Brown's still there as well. So there's another one. I think he's going to be one that's going to benefit from that Stephon Diggs acquisition, because over the last probably two seasons, more so this season just gone, but he was kind of the sole man in that wide receiver room. He was kind of the senior guy. So I think he'll definitely appreciate having another weapon, a really good weapon in there. So
they still have the same kind of receivers, all small and fast. You've got Cole Beasley, John Brown, and now Stephon Diggs added that it's going to be hard to cover with speed. So.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's the back end of the 4 weeks at home. We move on the road, and it's the old Thursday night football, or Friday for us, in Seattle. And do we need to talk about this one? Is this like lock it in for a win? Anyone got any objections?
No, I mean, nothing further than just to say that I think we'll be coming off a loss, and we'll have lost to Seattle earlier in the season, and this will be a bit of a redemption match in the context of our season, and a great place to be doing it in prime time.
Yeah.
We haven't been on the road for over a month as well, so we should be plenty rested.
And interestingly, last season's win against them was probably one of the easier wins, so to speak, that we've had in recent years. Like, in terms of scoreline and margin, they've always been games where we'd kick a field goal in the last dying seconds, or they'd miss one, or vice versa. Last year was probably one of the easier wins in terms of scoreline. So who knows? We might be really starting to put the foot on the throat and drive them into the ground. So it'd be nice.
That's the plan.
just a point at this point, guys. I was looking at strength of schedule based on the Vegas odds for win totals. Cardinals actually had the second easiest strength of schedule through the first eight games, and then they end up with the hardest strength of schedule going on the run home. So, talking about where Matty said we've got to have that momentum early. If you look at the stat games at the end of this thing, and it started at that Bills point. It becomes a very tough road if you haven't notched up some wins early.
Yeah, definitely. And that's why I think it was Luke in our chat group who does a lot of our draft analyst stuff. He was tipping us to start the season really poorly, I believe. I think he had us only winning one or two, but then finishing with a 500 record. I think if we start the season bad, someone's in all sorts of trouble, and it's not gonna end well for us. So hopefully that's not the case. But I think we definitely need to start well. All right. After that, we go this game. Usually, you'd be saying, "Oh, geez, chalk it down as a loss," but it's not so cut and dry that these days. I guess the big thing with New England, the unknown. Yes, the known that you've got Belichick there. You know what they're going to be like. They're always good, but this quarterback, this Jarrett Stidham. There's plenty of talk about him saying, you know, yeah, he's good. He's the real deal. Blah 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 blah. But we've seen nothing from him. Whether he takes the job, they've obviously got Brian Hoyer. There's still talk that, you know, Cam Newton could go there. For me, I can't see that happening. I just don't think that Cam Newton and Bill Belichick would mesh together. I just don't see how Bill would handle Cam walking around with his fancy hats and dresses and all that kind of stuff. But look, for me, I'm of the belief that we can make a statement here, go up and win this game, and you know, it might not get the accolades because people go, oh, it's just the Patriots without Brady. But it's a game that mentally can – a lot of teams are going to look at and go, righto, we get over that hoodoo. We've had that hoodoo of going to New England and really struggling and having those tough games. But if people can get over that hoodoo quickly, this dynasty, what so to speak, could really fall over pretty quickly. Don't think it will, but – I'm tipping a win here. I'm confident of a win.
And a really interesting narrative going into this game from the Cardinals' perspective. This is Chandler Jones's first time playing back at Gillette Stadium since he left the Patriots. So he'll certainly be wanting to go in and put on a show. And with New England's offensive line, they're okay. But if there is a rookie quarterback in the backfield there, Chandler is going to go hell and leather to get after him. So I think we'll see a good performance from Chandler here. It's just so hard to write off the Patriots. Like, they're just so strong with their system, and they just seem to be able to do fine no matter what configuration they're in. That said, I do see this as a winnable game for us. I've got it marked down as a win. But I've said this to a friend who's a Patriots fan at work. I said, I'm just reserving judgment on the Pats until they hit the field and they start playing, because you just don't know what Belichick's got up his sleeve.
Yeah, the Belichick factor changes everything. I mean, I would have expected them to go out in free agency and find a quarterback, but they're obviously very comfortable with what Jarrett Stidham's provided him in camp, because for him to go and only go get Brian Hoyer, to me it seems like they think they've got something going with Stidham. So I've got it as a win. As you said, Chandler returns back to Massachusetts, and the surprising thing for the Patriots is they still haven't upgraded that wide receiver corps. So they relied on N'Keal Harry out of the draft last year. He got injured, and they basically didn't have anything. They lose Dorsett. They haven't replaced with anything. So it has to be N'Keal Harry again out of Arizona State.
Yeah, well, they've got Harry and Edelman, and obviously still got Michelle and White there in the backfield. So
yeah, they rely on that check down a lot.
So. Yeah. But I guess one point in here is, and the system that we're, or the situation that we're currently in, surely this has got to affect them, because they're not getting those reps with those guys on the ground. Like, it's all online stuff. That's got to have an effect. Like, yes, he was there last year, but geez, you've got to think that, you know, it's putting their plans to the test a little bit more. It's going to make things a little bit harder for them going forward with everything that's going on. So, which is only a good thing. You know, I want to see New England win.
No one.
I don't even think the fans want to. I think they've all moved on to a different team already, aren't they? I think I actually seen Buccaneers jerseys being sold in Rebel Sports today. I've never seen a Buccaneers jersey in Australia in my life.
It's incredible.
Yeah. Wonderful. All right. Well, so what do we got? We got three marking it down for a win.
Yep.
All right. Moving on. Week 13. At home. Against the Lambs. But geez, for me, I know this team has had our hoodoo, but I'm on the bandwagon that this team is gone. They are sliding and sliding real fast. They've put themselves into a situation where they're in massive cap issues and they can't really acquire a great deal. I will be very, very disappointed if we do not win both games against this team this year. Very disappointed. My theory, and I'll get to it now, but we play them at home first. My theory is by the time we play them in LA, assuming that the game is in LA with everything that's going on, in round 17, week 17, there won't be anyone there because the bandwagon's gone. The fans have fallen off. They've built this new stadium. There won't be anyone there because they've had such a bad season. I just don't think that they're going to be very good, and I think they're going to finish last in our division, and I've got us chalked down for two wins against this team. So I'll be very disappointed if we don't turn things around against them. I don't know. I'm not one for going against these hoodoos where teams have the wood over each other, but it's got to turn around at some point, and this is the point where it turns around.
This is going to be an interesting game. It's at that point in the season, and you know, and if the win-loss record plays out as it does, as I expect it to for us, this could be, I see this as being a banana slip game. I'm with you, Goffy. I think the Rams are certainly on the way down, but it's still not to discount the talent that they do have there. Cooper Kupp will hopefully have had, you know, a full season to point with Goff, and when they're both connecting and fit and healthy, they're a really good combination. You know, they have, you know, moved on from Todd Gurley, but you know, that's probably a bit of a moot point at this stage. This is one of those head and heart things, but they're both a little bit torn. I don't want to go so far as to say I think the Rams are going to win, but if we're going to lose a winnable match at a point in the season, it's going to be this one. I could see that we'll certainly potentially be playing, competing with LA for that extra playoff spot. I'd like to think that we would be able to get over them. I think we will in week 13, but yeah, there's a high risk of this being the match where we kind of drop our guard a little.
Yeah. Okay. I think this is a story of two teams in two different directions at the moment, I think. I mean, we're ascending with a good group of young guys, a good core that it's coming through. And the Rams have gone into a stars and scrubs scenario and it didn't work for them. They needed to win it 2 years ago. And it's this team, the Rams team, hasn't got better. They lose Brandon Cooks. They haven't replaced it. Their top draft pick is Cam Akers. So they already took Daryl Henderson last year. I don't think they've got any better in that area. I mean, if we're going to win against the Rams, it's going to be at home and it needs to be in this game. So I've got this as a win. But the Sean McVay is a great coach and he needs to prove it this year as they continue to slide on their roster.
Yeah. I guess the other one that they've lost as well is Corey Littleton. He's another big loss for them.
Yeah.
He was a massive key in their defense. And yeah, he was one that I was hopeful of getting, but we turned out we didn't need him. But yeah, I think he's a big loss for them. So I think they're sliding. And I think this is probably, yeah, it's only going to get worse for the next couple of years for here.
And they made no attempt to address that O-line again. So
no, Jim exactly. Was
gonna have fun.
Yep. Especially when he's got a little bit of help there, you know, from the likes of Phillips and Kennard and hopefully Simmons with a bit of rush as well. So, yeah, definitely. All right, moving on. Week 14, and here we go. It's starting to get chilly. This game last year was probably one of the ugliest games and we got away with it. Both teams are obviously a season on from that. A season better. Their rookie quarterbacks have had a full season underneath their belt. They addressed their needs a little bit, but I'm still not convinced that they're going to be great. But this game is a tough game. Once again, it's a game where these tough ones, and you're kind of expected to win, even though they're tough. You're expected to beat teams like this. We need to go up there and really make a statement in this game, no matter how cold it is. Put it out of your mind. Don't talk about it. Get up there, get the job done, get back home, back to that warm weather, because this game could really be pivotal come the end of the season if we drop this. We don't want to be losing games like this.
Yeah, I don't think football will be the winner of this game. When you consider the time of year that we're traveling up there to play, it's going to be cold. It may well be wet. It's going to be miserable. I think we'll be, both teams will be, you know, very limited here. Daniel Jones is really interesting. They really like him there in New York, and he's shown glimpses of potential. It'll be interesting to see how he develops this season. I was really fascinated that they took Andrew Thomas with their first pick in the draft. He's a player that I rate very highly as an offensive tackle. I'll be interested to see how he's going at this point in the season. I think we'll win, but it won't be I'm not sure if it's one where I'll be waking up at 5 a.m. to watch it live.
Come on, mate. Where's the commitment?
The Giants drafted really well. Actually, as Matty said, I think Andrew Thomas is going to be a great left tackle for them. Obviously, they will need that after Nate Solder moves on. But this game last year, Chase Edmonds goes off for three touchdowns. So he'll be keen to get back to this game. I think the boys need to go up there and win this game again. I don't see the Giants have improved more than we've improved this offseason. So if everything stays the same, we should take them down like we did last year.
Yeah. And if we can get after Jones early and really put him under pressure, which is what we did last year. We really got them under pressure when they had the ball. And I think there's a couple of fumbles and whatnot from him. That's where we're going to win this game, is really put them under pressure. And make them make the plays in a different way than they want to. If we can shut them down early, and hopefully the weather will be nice to us, and it's not too cold, but you know, it's unlikely. But it'd be nice to get up there and really come away with a nice win, and you know, just get that fear of that banana skin out.
Another new coach for the Giants too. So you got Joe Judge coming down from the Patriots. So be interesting to see how Daniel Jones meshes with Joe Judge. Similar quarterback, yep. I guess. It's less mobile than he's definitely a pocket passer. So be interested to see whether he improves Jones or they don't fit that scheme.
Yeah, definitely. All right, we're back home, staying in that division. And we've got the Eagles at home. Nice 8 o'clock start after the 5 o'clock. So you can get up for this one, Matty.
I'll be watching this one live.
This one's going to be a cracker of a game. I've got it down as one of the ones I think we're going to slip up in. I think we'll drop this one. But it should be a really good game. The Eagles are a really good side. I guess a lot will depend on whether Carson Wentz is still on 2 feet by this point, because usually he's busted up at some point. So that will change things if he's not. But I've got it down. I'm marking this one down as a loss. They're a pretty strong side, experienced. They've been there. They've done that. These are the kind of teams you want to play at this time of the year, especially if you're in that playoff contention, because it's going to harden you up come that playoff run, and it'll give us a really good idea on where we stand if we're in that situation.
Yeah, it's games like this that make that momentum that we can potentially pick up at the start of the season all the more important, because this will be a tough game. We're coming off what will no doubt be a bit of a tiring road trip up to New York over on the East Coast. And the Eagles are just very good. Like I know that they're somewhat easy to pick on, with Wentz's injury frequency and other such things, but they are just a solid team all round. They'll be very much in the hunt, and they'll be in a position where they'll potentially have a little bit to lose. They're going to be wanting to finish strong. They're going to come in hard, and I think we'll put up a valiant fight, but I've got this notch down as a loss.
Yeah, I've also got this one as a loss, boys. The Eagles last year struggled in their wide receiver corps. They pick up Jalen Reagor in the draft. They pick up Marquise Goodwin during the draft by trade. Alshon Jeffrey was injured last year, so we'll see if he returns to the Alshon Jeffrey everyone knows. I don't think they'll have that issue in the wide receiver corps this year. So throughout the rest of that squad, it's strong. They've got strong trenches both sides of the ball. So it is a road trip for them, though. They have to come across to Arizona. So the same things we talk about going there, they've now got to come here. But it is one that I see us losing at home.
Yeah.
Also, Jordan Hicks plays against the Eagles for the first time since moving across.
He's all over these stats, isn't he? Hey,
oh, he's good. He's again as a cheap plug. You want to get amongst the Bird Gang Down Under? Get on Facebook. Get in our group chat, because Troy gets some really good, interesting, insightful content for the boys in the group chat there. So it's definitely worth getting in. And if you get yourself on board, you can get yourself one of those jerseys as well.
Yep, yep. Once
cheap
again,
plug.
Woo! Other way. There we go. Nice. All right. Where are we? We're moving on. What do we have? We've done that one. We're up to here. Week 16. TBD. To be determined, because we don't know where it's going to. Well, we know where it's going to be, but we don't know when it's going to be, and we don't know what time. So it's one of those games they've put in there as a flex option. If we're going good, we could get a primetime game. If we're going bad, well, then we probably won't. So I had us down against a win against them in week one. I thought we'd catch them. I don't think we'll get them twice in a season. I think that's really pushing it. I think we'll split it with them throughout the year. So even if I'm wrong week one, I still think we're going to split it with the 49ers throughout the year. I'm confident of that. I think we showed enough last year that we've got the game that can trouble them. I think we've got the weapons now, both on both sides of the ball, that can take advantage of the momentum that we do pick up, which we didn't capitalize on enough last year in those chances that we had. So either way, I think we'll split it with them this year. I think we'll go 1-1. I'd love to knock them off both games. That'd be absolutely perfect. But look, I'll throw this at you guys quickly as well while we're talking about this one. What do you think is an acceptable divisional record for the season? Are you happy to go 3-3? Do you feel like we need to win more than we lose? It's one of those tough ones. Obviously, divisional games are key, especially if it's going to come down to, if we finish equal record with someone. You know, that divisional record's going to be key, but what do you think for a divisional record? What do you think it'll be, and what do you think we need?
I think 3-3 is it would be acceptable. Like, we no doubt play in the toughest division in the league. As much as the Rams are on the way down, they're still a strong outfit. San Francisco very well could be in the Super Bowl and win it again this season, and Seattle are Seattle. I think 3-3. Would be acceptable. I think it's certainly possible. I personally don't think we will. I have this particular match down as a loss for us, which would get us below that record that we're talking about there. This could potentially be, I think it will very likely be, Saturday night primetime game on Boxing Day, because I think there'll be playoff implications with this game, and I think it will just lend itself to be a very exciting game. With
what are we going to do there? Are you talking Boxing Day here or Boxing Day over there?
It'd be Boxing Day over there.
That's right. I'm thinking, geez, we've got Boxing Day here. We're going to have the cricket on one TV and we have the cards on the other. Geez, how good's that for Boxing Day?
That's where you need the KO Sports to have the screen-in-screen kind of action going on.
And then you've got the NBA as well, because the NBA, Boxing Day, they've got a whole heap of games as well. So,
well, we've got ourselves NFL on Christmas Day. Their Christmas Day, not our Christmas Day. I think it's the Saints and the Vikings, I think it is.
Yeah.
So that's a big move, because that's really getting it on NBA territory with the Christmas night game.
Yep.
But yeah, I think this will be a loss for us. I think it's going to be a bit of a downer at the end of the season for us. Again, which is why getting those wins earlier are important. I think we'll find ourselves in prime time potentially, and I think we'll bow out to San Francisco as they make a real strong charge for the playoffs.
Okay.
Yeah, I see the same. I see us splitting 1-1 with each of them. But as Matt said, I think we play in the strongest division in the NFC, and I wouldn't be surprised if three of those three playoff spots go through the NFC, whether that be us, Seattle and San Fran, and Rams missing out is where I hope.
Well, I've tipped 4-2 in the division, which I know is high hopes. I've got us knocking over the Rams both times, and having a loss against Seattle and a loss against San Fran. I'd be happy with 3-3. I think 3-3 would be great. I think anything less than that, we start to get ourselves into a position where, it could be a little bit icy, if we're finishing level with someone, and that's potentially could happen. The division's that tight. I think if we finish 4-2, that's massive. And obviously it's going to put us in good stead, because most of our toughest opponents are our divisional opponents. A lot of the easier games are the ones we go and play elsewhere. So if we can get 4-2, I think it sets us up really, really well. Hopefully that's the way we go. I'm gonna throw another comment here. We've got another one. He's back again. Miles, he's coming in hard with his flag. I don't think he can deny him now, mate.
No, let's just give it to Dean just to troll Miles.
So he says it feels like we probably need wins in two of the last three games to secure a playoff position. Tough matchups, but two home games. What are your thoughts? First off, do you think that we're going to need two in the last three? And if so, do you think we can get it done considering two of those last three are divisional games? And then obviously you throw in the Eagles as well. It's a tough finish.
Yeah, I think we do need to get two of these last three for us to get that spot, even taking the extra wild card spot into account. We're in a very tough division. We could go, you know, 8-8 and still finish last potentially in our division, such as the strength of it. I think if we want to have a crack at playoffs, we need to win two of the last three here. Because there's just so much competition elsewhere in the league.
There's Troy there. He's muted himself.
Sorry. The other side of that is if we're going into the playoffs, we need to be running in with momentum too. So, you know, if you limp into the playoffs by not winning two of these three, especially if you lose the last two going in, you're not running into the playoffs very well. So it's important for both sides.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. And that brings us to the last game at LA. In the new stadium, we wait until the last week to go there. I mentioned before, I'm hoping that the bubbles burst and the fans have had their experience at the stadium and now no one wants to go and watch this crappy team play. Can only hope. But look, I marked us down for two wins against the Rams this year. I've got a lot of Rams mates and I hope in hell that that's what happens, because I'm sick of listening to them telling me that they own us. And in fairness, they have, but it's our turn now. So I've got us down for a win here. And to finish it off on an 8:25 kickoff on a Monday morning is quite nice as well.
Yeah, look, regardless of what point we're at with our record in the season, this will be a match that, you know, our team are going to want to step up for, either to, really, bring our season home and challenge for a playoff spot, or to go, okay, we might not have performed to expectations in the season, but let's finish on a high note. Let's really come out and show what we've got. I think that combined with LA just, being in the state they're in, I think that we'll see this game go the Cardinals' way.
I had Cardinals winning at home against the Rams. Look, I can see us sweeping the Rams in the sense that if they were out of playoff contention, they had a bad run leading into this, then yes, we could sweep them. But if they're still, if they're fighting us for that third position, or fighting Seattle for that third position in our division that might get them a wild card spot, I don't see us beating them, beating McVay, beating Rams on our previous history in LA. So assuming everything is still competitive, I think the Rams beat us in this point.
All right. Okay. So now, do you remember in your head how many you had for the season?
Not at all.
I don't. I'm going to have to go back and count them.
Throw up the whole season graphic there.
Let's have a look. We'll have a quick count up. So have another look. Let me just get rid of the ticker there. So there's the draw. Obviously, that tough run there between week four and week six. And obviously, you're throwing week seven as well, leading up to the bye, is obviously a tricky one. So once you've calculated them up, Matty, you can go first, because I'm still calculating. I'm not good at math.
Oh, well, now I'm going back through and kind of questioning. I think I might have been too. I'm wondering if I've been too generous. I think, unless I've counted wrong, I have them at 10-6.
I also have them at 10-6.
Yeah, no, that's actually I'm comfortable with that.
Oh, I've gone 11-5, so I'm happy with that. I'd be taking 11-5. 11-5 and 4-2 in the division. Geez, that's got to be that'd have to get us it'd be close to being top of the division if we're taking 4-2 in the division.
Well, geez, are we being a bit too generous for ourselves here, lads? I mean, I think where we will see what will kind of make or break us is going to be those divisional games, though.
Yeah,
like the LA games really could go either way. Seattle, we tend to, break those ones. San Francisco, I mean, they're San Francisco. They're so good. But we've ourselves are in a position where last year we did challenge them quite well. And if we're able to continue on what we achieved last year, we should be able to be in with a good shake. So I don't want to be too cynical. At the same time, I don't want to sound like a naive homer and be overshooting. But I think 10-6, I think that's fair.
I look, and going back to what Cam said as well, I think like you look at the schedule and it looks tough. There's tough aspects to it, but there's also a lot of teams in there that if you just look at the team and put team and team on paper, there's a lot of teams that we should be beating. Yes, you've got to take into consideration the travel. You've got to take into consideration those factors. We're going there in the cold. You take them into consideration, but realistically, us v them, we should be beating them teams. And if you're going to be a genuine playoff contender and a genuine contender, you need to be winning those games. So that's the step we've got to take. And it's a big step from where we were last year and maybe a step too far too early. Maybe we're still a season away. But the steps that we've made throughout the offseason have certainly given enough hope for us to sit here and legitimately go, all right, well, hold on a minute. We've built this team up. We've done some really good things. If these guys can put it together on paper and take that natural progression, then obviously they're going to go forward. And we weren't far away in a lot of those tough games last year. And the perfect example were the 49er games. You know, we challenged them better than anyone. And with a little bit of, I'll throw it to you. You put a DeAndre Hopkins and even an Isaiah Simmons in that side, all of a sudden, I believe you've got a different result. Because you've got someone to shut down Kittle and you've got a weapon on offense who all of a sudden makes them sit back and go, well, hold on a minute, we got to double this guy because, you know, they didn't have to worry about that last year. They got Larry, they've got Christian Kirk, or they had Keyshawn Johnson or Andy Isabella, or it's not a threat. Like, as much as we love the GOAT, he's not going to threaten you if you give him that space underneath, shut him down. DeAndre Hopkins is a totally different option. And you put him in that game last year, either of those games last year, and it's a different ball game. So,
And the same can be said for Isaiah Simmons as well. If you were to go back through those games and you just look at our record against tight ends all of last year,
yep,
just the difference that Isaiah Simmons can make to us recovering the tight end will have an immediate impact on our win-loss record and our score lines. Definitely the same for Hopkins as well. You look at our wide receiver corps now, and you've got Hopkins, Larry, and Kirk. Then you can also then be bringing in Isabella, as a speedster. Butler as well.
Oh, geez, I can't wait to see that guy.
I really hope that he bounces back and really shows us, lives up to that potential that I think a lot of us see in him. So, and then running that in our, adapted air raid offense, those games that we lost last year, we should be able to, they would be games that we'd be winning this year. You can say that.
Absolutely.
Just to add to, I mean, we've had a fantastic offseason with our free agency and draft, but I mean, just, I think Cam Cox mentioned on the last episode, we basically had a free agency before this where we received Robert Alford back, who didn't even play for us last year. We get Zach Allen to play for us who played one game, two games of last year. You know, there's guys like that improve your team that were already part of. Hakeem Butler's another one, never got to see the field. So, yeah, those kind of additions without actually making them, first time getting to see them, that'll improve the team as well. Just going through I had 10-6 on my record. It was 5 away, 5 at home as well. So very even split.
That's right.
I think if I was being critical, I think it'd probably more likely be a 9-7 season. I didn't know when you're tipping them on paper, you don't allow for any of that banana skin slip up that you talked about. So, you know, if you drop one of those East Coast games to Panthers and Jets, even though on paper those teams shouldn't be beating us, they're East Coast games, back-to-back, away, early, you know, that's those kind of things. You drop one of them and we end up at 9-7. I still think a 9-7 with the 7 playoff berth now is a feasible number to get in, but it'll depend on your it may depend on your matchup head-to-heads with who else ends up with that record.
Yeah, that's worth noting. Like our tips that we're making, our predictions are based on, you know, everything going to plan. Who's to say that, the DJ Humphries doesn't get injured and then that exposes Kyler for a lot of the season, or, you know, who's to say we don't have another injury, again on the in the secondary or something like that. It's the best case scenario that we're talking about here, but I think it would take a lot of catastrophes for us to have a losing season, I would think. I think we should certainly be, you know, insisting upon a winning season, if not a serious challenge for a playoff berth.
Yeah, I think anything less than being an above 500 is a failure. I think that's our goal. We have to be above 500. It's a natural steps. We won five last year. The additions that we've made, we've got to be above 500. And that's what we've got to be looking at. Definitely optimistic. You know, you probably say 11-5 is optimistic, but you look at the paper, and that's what I say. You've got to take into consideration, you know, things that are there in front of you. We're not taking into consideration injuries and all that kind of stuff. And who knows? There could be some of these teams that come out and play lights out. Or there could be teams who literally drop the ball. Patriots. hey, we can dream. It's going to be exciting no matter what. I think the best part is that we've got that ability to have that excitement. It's been a while. Like, obviously, we had a little bit last year, but we got to see what we've got. Now we're like, all right, we've added some real good additions and we've got real, real genuine excitement throughout Arizona and obviously throughout Australia as well, because the Bird Gang Down Under is growing, which is great. Well, boys, we've been going for a while now. We just sat here and chatting, and time flies when you're having fun. So we're going to do one more thing before we finish. Ready? Can you all get ready? Maddie, you might get lost here. Hold on a minute. Let me see if I can do something here. Let me see if I can – no, I don't want to do that one. Sorry. Let's put that one up. We're all try and jig this around somehow. There you go. Give me an arrow, boys.
There we go. Get on those jerseys. Find us on Facebook, Bird Gang Down Under, or birdgangdownunder.com, the website as well. You can jump on there and fill in your form. Goffy and myself will get it, and Goffy will make sure that you get sorted out to make payment and get the jersey. We're looking at putting the order in the next couple of days, I think, aren't we, Goffy?
Yep, next couple of days. So if you're genuinely keen on getting one, get in there, order it, and hopefully we'll have it in the next couple of weeks. So, and as I said at the start of the show, we were originally keeping it to Bird Gang Down Under members, so you had to have a member number. However, we've decided that we're going to open it up to everyone. So even you guys that are watching it in America, if you want a Bird Gang Down Under jersey, let us know. Get on, fill it out. Just let us know that you are from America. We will design it, but you'll probably have the 00 number. You won't actually have a member number on there. The member numbers are kept for the individual member. It's a token. So we're going to open it up to you guys. We've had a few requests from guys. So it's an option there. If you are genuinely keen, get in touch with us and we'll hook you up. So, Maddie, now we've got the pressure on you. We set this out at the start of the show. Bird Gang Down Under flag. Mate, you got two options.
There's still time. Someone else can hear the question. That's Dog Miles. That's Doggy.
Come on, where's our deal? We're at the Bird Gang Down Under flag. Look, he's got to win it, doesn't he?
Yeah, you've got to give him the points for effort. I think three questions. Yeah. I think it was, and he's a good bloke. So congratulations, Miles. Enjoy that flag.
We got another one here from Troy. I don't know what he was doing. I don't know if he was meant to be commenting on something else. He's put Cortez versus Banjo Biller. Was meant to be for us?
Yeah, when Cam Cox was on and you were talking about the super fan in the stadium only. So
Yes.
Yeah. All you needed to do was put a question mark at the end of that, and that would have counted as an entry.
Yeah, there we go. We'll put it up for him. There we go.
There it is. No, but Miles, looking forward to seeing some photos of you with your new flag in the group chat on Facebook once that arrives to you in the mail.
Yes, absolutely. We'll be in touch, mate. And Miles, he's only just joined in the last week, and he's another one who's been keen as he's got onto the Bird Gang Down Under web page and started writing some articles. So he's keen. It's great. It's awesome. Hold on a minute. We got a new comment. Oh, here he is. Hold on. He's back. Cheers, lads.
As you should. Love it. As you should.
Well done, mate. Well done. It's great to have you part of the Bird Gang, although I'm not too sure about that profile picture. Golden State Warriors. I don't know what's going on there.
Not sure anyway, about that. Yeah. Phoenix Suns. Thank you, young man.
I wouldn't go that far either.
got to keep it in AC. Yeah, I will just mention as well, for those who might not be members of Bird Gang Down Under but are thinking about it, there's no charge. You don't have to pay or anything to join, but you do need to be Down Under Australia, and we do have some Kiwis in amongst it as well, I believe. So as long as you're in that group, it's okay. But yeah, you don't have to pay. You do need to pay for a jersey though. We're not a charity, but yeah, we just want to see as many people join.
Unless Mr. Bidwell wants to, you know, hook up some Aussies and, you know, buy us all member jerseys. Like, hey, we're not opposed to it. We'll give him a spot on the podcast. Come on, we'll get you on here.
I want to talk to Coach Kingsbury and have him dial in from his epic house with his his mountain view.
If he's able to buy a house like that, surely he can shout us some jerseys. Come on. Yes. Tell you what, my pool and my fire pit out that window don't look that good. I'm not putting it on the screen.
Jeez, look at you Canadians up there in New South Wales talking about, we have the climate to have pools. It'd be an ice rink for us down here in Victoria if I had a pool out the back.
You Mexicans, good on you. Cheers again, boys. Much appreciated. Maddie, thanks for jumping in for Jay's gone AWOL again. It seems to be a common occurrence, and much appreciated, mate. I think you've outdone him now. I think he's the B team and you're the A team.
Always happy to come off the bench and help out. It's always good just to talk about football.
That's it. And Troy, mate, welcome to the Bird Gang. Good to have you on, and we're definitely catching up for a beer soon. And mate, good to have you on the show, and glad you could be part of it. And mate, keep that effort up in the group, because we all love it. I know some of the guys probably get a bit shitty with all the notifications, but we all do it, so that's life. All right, mate, you got one more. Here we go.
Miles again. He's at it. You've already got the flag, mate. You've got the flag.
Well, at least we know someone's watching. good work.
Coffee, thanks for having me on, mate, and appreciate the accept to the group. And anyone who's out there thinking about getting in the group, by all means, everyone's very welcoming in the group, and it's just a nice way to talk footy, talk Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, awesome. Well, thanks again. And let me say, so we our next show, we won't probably have one for 2 weeks, I'm going to say, but our next show will not be missed. We have a special guest. And when I say special guest, this is not one of our, no disrespect to our, pardon?
Is it Jay?
I didn't say special guest. No, we have a special guest, and it's no disrespect to, you know, Cam and all them, but we've got a special guest. You don't want to miss that one. So 2 weeks, we've already lined it up. So, it's going to be good. So till then, Bird Gang Down Under, out. Have a good one. See you later.